Well, it's also good to have other folks that are with us, and Brother Levi Mullins is, of course, a missionary out of our church, grew up here, and he's from West Virginia originally. I mean, what's not to like about him? I mean, goodness gracious, he checks all these boxes and is a blessing. But and I've heard him preach many different times, and I've been over there to the ministry, and God has used him in a wonderful way, and many of you have been, our young people, but others have been there to see the work, and I'm just so thankful that our giving gets to go into something that's making a difference where we're not. And it's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. We're not doing them a favor by supporting missionaries. Missionaries are doing us a favor by going to these foreign lands and going to places and preaching the gospel on our behalf. And so I'm very grateful. But more than that, I appreciate Brother Levi because he's become a dear friend, and I thank God for him. And we are able to keep up back and forth over WhatsApp, one of the social media platforms that we're able to video conference on. And so I'm so thankful for him. And it's made the church a more exciting place to be since his boys have been here. I tell you, they really liven things up. I love having the Mullins boys here, and they're up until now, we've been counting on his nephew Noah, but Noah's gotten more reserved, and he's not running around or anything, but it's so good to have those boys here, and always a blessing to have. Brother Levi, why don't you come? We've been looking forward to it since he's been here, and I thought he was here until Wednesday. I thought, well, we'll just have him preach, and then get to spend a few more days, but he's leaving tomorrow, and so we're glad that he's coming here and looking forward to what the Lord has put on his heart to preach for us. Thank you, brother. We love you. Thank you. You're here at Buffalo
God
Ridge.
God bless you. Thank you so much, and it's wonderful to be with you, and it's good to be home with my church family. And we're so grateful to God for all that God is using you to do in prayer and support for my family. Thank you for your prayers and support for my family here and my immediate family. And we're so grateful to God for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And we're thankful that hope never changes. It's not a wishful hope. It's a sure hope. And I'm thankful to thank God for that. And I'm thankful for my wife and my children. I've missed them while they've been here a whole lot. And I'm surprised I still see the church standing, to be honest. And not because of my wife, because of my boys. And but so grateful for the Lord, for my family, and what God has given us in that. And we're so thankful for the ministry there in England and what the Lord is doing. And I know that's a direct answer to prayer to folks here and what God is doing and this love and support that we have received over these years. It's hard to believe this February will be 11 years we've been in England. And we're so grateful to God for the many churches that have started. And we're at 9 churches, 2 missions, hopefully, Lord willing, that will become churches. That'll be 10 and 11. And we have work that has expanded now to the Netherlands and gospel missions every month. They're going to the Netherlands. And we're training Dutch young people, Lord willing, that will become church planters in the Netherlands. And we're sending 2 families to Zimbabwe. We thank the Lord for that. You've heard a bit about that work there. And we praise the Lord for God's work expanding there. We're praying what God is doing in England will begin to do in South Africa and go through the rest of the parts there. We're just so grateful to God for what the Lord's doing in our local church. And as soon as I get back on the Lord's Day morning, and we'll be seeing a young girl follow the Lord in believer's baptism and our family joining the church all together, a brand new family, part of our church. And it was so encouraging to see in this month we had a Christmas carol service and where the children come and do their thing and all of that. And we invite the parents to come. And we saw record numbers of children and families coming along, gospel preached. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. See new families coming into the church through that. And it's just been a wonderful year of seeing church growth and seeing churches that have been planted for years now coming to more of a mature state. And it's really encouraging to see British young people stirred up to be trained to preach the gospel. I was so thankful you were able to meet and Danny Ahir and his wife Lucy. And recently, I remember those initial years that Brittany and I were in England. And I think he mentioned a bit. I remember calling him the Sunday night before Camp Victory and saying, Danny, why don't you come to camp? And I knew he needed Christ. And I thank God. It's got nothing to do with me. Everything to do with what great things the Lord has done and in his heart. And it's tremendous to see young British men going forth and preaching the gospel in England. Please pray for laborers. And the harvest truly is white and plenteous, and the laborers are few. And so we're praying for laborers and praying for consecrated laborers, ones who are willing just to say, you know, it doesn't matter what's going on in this world, I'm living for heaven. And so please pray with us about this, and we're so grateful to be here. And it's been refreshing to be with my family, and I'm so grateful for my father-in-law, and I love him very much. Thankful to have a Christian family, and it's a lovely thing to come home and to be amongst Christian people. And a lot of people don't have that opportunity this time of year, and so may we be grateful to God for the church family that God gives us, and to come around this time of year and remember Jesus Christ and what the true meaning is. I pray the Lord will help us to be together and around the Word of God this evening. Nehemiah, take you with me in your Bibles to the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. And very grateful to the Lord for this year that God has given us. As a year closes and a year opens, we begin to think in our hearts of what could I've done better, what should I do the next year, and all these different types of things begin to stir in our hearts to determine what the Lord would have us to do. I hope that you have a tender heart finishing this year. And sometimes we can look at the end of something and we can say, well, we can be filled with regrets. Don't allow that to happen in the Lord. Let that drive you to your knees and to the Lord Jesus Christ. To be filled with hope, to know what God can do and what the years that may be lost in difficulty or sin or struggles in life or disappointments in a year, the Lord can restore in obedience to His Word in a single night. And what an amazing thing that God can do in restoration through the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look to Him tonight, and I pray the Lord will encourage us. As we come to the Word of God, I want us to think of that very thought this year. As we end this year and we go into next year, I pray the Lord would burden us with this very thought to be attentive to the Word of God. To be attentive to the Word of God. Nehemiah chapter number 8, we look here together and begin reading in verse number 1. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from morning until midday. Before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Messiah. And on the right hand and on his left hand, Padiah and Mishael and Malchiah and Hashem and Hashbanana and Zechariah and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, and all the people stood up, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also Jeshua and Benaiah and Sherebiah and Jamin and Akab and Shabbathel and Hadijah and Messiah and Kalita and Azariah and Jozabad and Hanan and Peliah and the Levites caused the people to understand the law. And the people stood up in their place. And so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and calls them to understand the reading. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to Thee this evening and we rejoice already the testimonies and song, Lord, the time to worship Thee in giving and in singing together and in prayer that has been made. But Lord, we ask Thee that as we come around Thy Word this evening, Lord, I pray that we would give attention to Thy Word. Oh Lord, we know in our hearts, if we are honest with Thee this evening, Lord, we haven't given the attention to the Word of God that You've given us like we should. But Lord, I pray that You would stir in our hearts a greater desire to know Thee. Lord, a greater desire, Lord, to obey Thee and live for Thee, to live for eternal things and to know, Lord, what it is to live in a life of obedience to God. Oh, Lord, I pray that we would be stirred by Thy Spirit to be encouraged tonight. Lord, I pray that if there be anyone here tonight that does not know Thee as Savior, and Lord, they do not have that hope of eternal home with the Lord Jesus Christ, the peace of God that resides truly in one's heart, a real relationship with God. Oh, Lord, I pray that You would bring them sweetly unto Thyself, and may they trust and repent to believe the gospel even tonight. Lord, we thank You for Thy word, and I pray that You would please help us to understand it. Lord, I need help tonight. I cannot speak unless You would help me. May You be honored and glorified in all that is said and done. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Here in the book of Nehemiah, we really cross over with the book of Ezra right before it, and some of the most exciting books in the Bible, and in a most wonderful time. You can imagine that for many years, for 70 years, and Israel had been in captivity. And just as Jeremiah had prophesied, they were in captivity and now returning back, and Zerubbabel had come back with his return, and the altar was built, and Ezra, and as well working on the temple, Nehemiah on the wall, and these three with the team of God's people, remnant people, that would come back and rebuild, and all this working towards this one purpose and desire that they might be in the presence of the Almighty God, worshiping God once again. You think of those years of separation, our disobedience to God. They had been separated from a real relationship with their Creator. We think about all that Jesus Christ did to make that possible for on a day-to-day basis through His precious blood. It's not of the blood of bulls and goats anymore, but it's of the eternal work of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. We can have a relationship with God. And what a wonderful thing that is. What a great privilege that is to know that we can come to God through the blood of Jesus Christ in a moment's time. The veil was rent top to bottom. And we rejoice in what God has done through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the relationship we can have with Him. But I wonder how oftentimes we do not worship God for all the work that He has done to make sure that that happens. Oh, we think of this wonderful work that was happening here, that worship would be restored. We can look in the world around us, and a lot of people know a lot about God, but do they really worship Him? I think of those in the New Testament that the Lord Jesus talked about, how many would say unto Him in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? Have we not done many wonderful works and cast out demons in Thy name? And the Lord said, depart from me, I never knew you. What a tragic thought to think so much religion and so little relationship. May the Lord spare us from this. We see some things that were wonderful about this worship, and it's very important as we look into the modern world in which we're going, in which we are in. I mean, often we must remember that God's word never changes. It's the same. And therefore, it takes a center position, and it should, in our life, and especially in a Christian's life. It should take a center position in our homes, in our families, and in our church. It should always be the center of it all. And this example was set here in Nehemiah and by Ezra the scribe as he took out the word of God, and the work has been finished. In 52 days, the wall was finished and all was culminating, all the work and all the attacks and all the different people that said, it can't be done. And all the different people said, come down, don't stop working on the wall, stop going. And you think of all the things in a week that keep you from coming to God's house to worship Him. You think of all the things in a day that keep you from waking up and opening God's holy word. You think of those enemies that came to Nehemiah that said, don't open the Bible. Don't read. Don't pray. Just stop. You'll be okay. You're saved. You don't need to do anything. You just hold out until Jesus comes. I'm sorry, I'm fighting with this thing. And so may the Lord encourage us to understand that there are many temptations that keep us from pulling away from the Word of God. And I pray, and I'm praying in my own heart, the Lord will help me to be more attentive. I know in this year, there's so many times you can look back and say, man, I should have spent more time with God. I should have prayed more. Should have sought more. I wish I had done that. Well, let's not live in the regret. Let us live in the precious grace and mercy of God that He leads us to in the goodness of the Lord. It leads us to every day and not look at maybe what we lost, but look at all the Lord has for us ahead. The best is yet to come. Onwards and upwards for Jesus Christ. They have a phrase in England, Excelsior. And it's a spiritual phrase that says onwards and upwards, Excelsior. And may the Lord encourage us to excel and seek the Lord this year and grow closer to Him. And here by the water gate, let's imagine the scene, chapter 8 and verse number 1. The people all gathered themselves at the end of the street that was before the water gate. Now this was a broad street. And you can imagine all the people gathering in a tight street there in this way. And it is and the teeming, everybody squeezing in, pushing in, and all getting ready. And you say, well, what's all the excitement? Is it because they had these booths set up and this doing this and this jovial thing? Nope, it wasn't any of that. Here's why they were excited. And it says, because Ezra the scribe would bring the book of the law of Moses. The word of God was being brought into the midst of them. And it was nothing more exciting in all of Israel because they had known all the years without the word of God. They'd known all the days, the hours, the moments in which they did not have the relationship with God that God wanted them to have. And I want us to pray that the Lord would help us to come to a real reality for every day that you missed with God in this past year to give more attention in the year to come, that we might not miss time with our Lord. Be attentive to the word of God. And here they are gathering this very broad street, for a great number would gather. Not only men and women, but children would be present. And all that could understand. It says this a few different times. All that could understand. Think, they've been in Babylon. Some of these children maybe grown up hearing all the Chaldee language and not this Hebrew language. They had known the language of the world. But they had not known the sweet words of God. You know, church is a wonderful place. It's a place where worldly conversation should not happen. It's a place where when Christians get together, we speak about the eternal word of God. Where when we gather with one another, we can speak of Christ. We can speak of the goodness of the Lord. We can praise God together. We can open the wonderful words of life and be so encouraged. And here they are gathering, men, women, and children, everybody all together, coming together as a family, and the family of God coming to hear the word of God. What a wonderful thing that was going on. All that could hear. I wonder what kind of attention are we giving to the word of God? I don't know if this is first with Preacher Lasley, but I remember writing it down in one of the front end of one of my other Bibles, I've never forgot it. I first heard it from him. Maybe you've heard it before. Sin will either keep you from God's word, or God's word will keep you from sin. And we wonder why our lives are filled with such filth. And our lives so oftentimes stray, and our minds stray, and the worldliness just creeps in so much. Could we give more attention to the Word of God in 2025? Oh, may the Lord ever help us to get in the Word of God and give attention to it. Let us see here just quickly a few things, and then we'll work ahead here. And the position of God's Word, first of all. In verse number 4 and 5 of our text, and we read here, "And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose." We see the position of God's Word was not an accidental thing. It was not an accidental thing. There was a time in England, and it was a time in which was called a time of nonconformity. There was an act of uniformity passed in the Church of England in the 1600s, which caused all the ministers in pulpits, they had to pray a certain way, preach a certain way, say a certain thing, not do certain things, and wear certain things. And by God's grace, there was men who stood up and said, "We're going to obey God. We believe in the priesthood of the believers. We believe that God and man are accountable in this way. Man is accountable solely to God in this way." And they were nonconformists, they were called. And so oftentimes what you saw was a great trend in churches when they were built is the pulpits moved from, if you go into an Anglican church in England, where the pulpits were off to the side and over here on this little spot, and then what happened was is when they built their churches, they moved them right to the center. Because they got back to the Bible and they said, you know what? There was attention given to the Word of God. Not just to the gathering, but for the purpose of that gathering, being around God's holy word. And here we find in the Old Testament, they build a pulpit of wood, just like the one I stand before here. And there they stood up with purpose, and the word of God was opened. Here we find true worship begins here. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to the woman in the well in John chapter number 4. He would say, true worship. The Lord is looking for true worshipers. And as he scopes out and he looks in all of our hearts, I wonder, would he find true worship? And the word of God says it's in spirit and in truth. You know, truth can only be communicated in words. And as far as I know, the only absolute truth that we have is the word of God. And so without it, we cannot worship God. You know, I've heard many times in England, we see the lasting on, the knock-on effects of what in time when churches left the Word of God. And time again, all of our different church plants have people that show up and they say, we don't have nowhere to go to church because nowhere we go preaches the Bible anymore. They said they go and they sing to us for 45 minutes and then they open the Bible for 5 or 10 minutes. I wonder, will we give more attention to the Word of God in 2025? The position of the Word of God must be central. In verse number 4, the Bible tells us there was time taken to prepare hearing the Word of God. There was time taken, you can imagine, to get ready for this time in which Ezra would open. They didn't just show up, well, I guess, what are we going to do today? You know, well, I guess we could mosey on down to the water gate and we could probably hear Ezra. No, this is something they've been laboring towards. The gathering around the Word of God. I wonder, do we make such attention in our lives to make sure that we're reading our Bible every day, that we're spending time with God every day, that when on Saturday comes, our lives aren't full to where we're ready on Sunday and our hearts prepared to hear the pastor preach from the Word of God and be ready to share God's Word. I wonder why we might get discouraged because we're often not giving the attention to the Word of God. Oh, they were true worshipers. Leadership was found. We see this great list of people that I can't pronounce their names very well. And they stood beside the preacher. They stood beside Ezra. What an amazing thing. They stood right beside him. And you can see the support. Other people, leadership, encouraged this idea of supporting the word. Verse number 5, respect was given. And people, Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Wow. What attention. I wonder when we have this sitting on our nightstand or on our coffee table or in that special place or wherever it might be, I wonder, does it put off something special in our heart when we walk by, we stand up? Where we can't wait to get in it. It's hard to get out of it. Oh, I know there's so many times in my own life where I don't have that spirit. It's just, well, I gotta get through my Bible schedule reading, tick my box. But I haven't given attention to the Word of God. Oh, I pray that this year that the Word of God will have a greater respect in my heart. Will it in yours? Praise was given here in verse number 6. The Bible says, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered amen and amen with lifting up of hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord and their faces to the ground. This sounds like a meeting I wanted to be in. Oh my. People are saying amen. People are raising their hands in praise towards God. It wasn't about man. It was all about Jesus. It was all about the Lord. The cross was high and lifted up. And all men were drawn unto the Lord. This was the position. We also see the purpose. What was the purpose here? In verse number 7, and we see he calls the people to understand the law. The people stood up in their place. In verse number 8, the Bible says, "And so they read the book of the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading." There's a wonderful thing that the Word of God does. 2 Timothy and chapter number 3, the Word of God tells us that great work of the Word of God. And the Word of God says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." We as Christians ought to live holy before other people, and that is a great witness to other people. But may we understand it's the Word of God that makes people wise unto salvation, not just the way that we live. People need to know the truth. People need to be shared in the love of Christ, speaking the truth in love, as the scripture tells us, the word of God. I don't want them to know my words. My words fail. They falter. They lie even at times. God's word will never fail us. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What a work of the Word of God. We wouldn't have any trouble if we would just give attention to what the Word of God can do in our lives. He says here, read it distinctly. It's an interesting Hebrew word, paresh, means to sting. You know, the Word of God is intended to sting a little bit. You know, if we only ever want to read the parts that don't make us feel soft and nice. You know, it's nice to read the Psalms all the time. You know, they really comfort us. They really help us out. I'll be honest, there's a lot of times I don't want to leave the Psalms. I just want to be right there because they always make me feel really nice. But there's many times when we need the sting of God's Word. And there, Ezra read it distinctly. I'm thankful for when we hear the Word of God preached and it pricks our hearts. It should make us a little uncomfortable. It should make us stir up and think, you know what? I mean, maybe need to change the way I'm doing or the way I'm behaving, the way I'm going, and I'm not going the right direction. I need to go this direction. I need to follow God. I need to do this in my life. If it doesn't stir us up, then it's not being read distinctly. We need to pray and ask God, God, when I show up at church tonight, when I open the Word of God this morning, Monday morning, oh, prick my heart. Reprove me. Teach me. Draw me near unto the Lord. He gave the sense. It's here. It took time to explain the Word of God. Oh, do we take time to meditate on the Word of God? The Bible says, and calls them to understand. You know, anytime we read the Word of God, there should be a call to respond. It's not in one ear and out the other. There's a call to response. And here, this was it. And he calls them to understand the reading. That isn't just so they went away and said, oh, I know what that was saying. No, they were going away saying, I know what I need to do now. I know the action that I need to take. Oh, much of this is done in preparation of our own heart as we open the Word of God each and every day. Do we have a desire that it would say, you know what, I need to change this? The priorities in my family, my life, my job, everything in my life, that God's Word would have its rightful place. And ultimately, God himself, for in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Oh, we see one in closing here together, the power of God's Word. Verse number 9, the Word of God here says, "And the Nehemiah, which is in Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest and the scribe and the Levites that taught the people, said unto the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept, and they heard the words of the law. And he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Oh, and here it says, "So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, and neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them." This was a time, and the Bible says that as they heard the Word of God, no doubt it would stir them in such a way. And this was the power of God's Word. This was something, it wasn't just an intellectual stirring, it was something by the Spirit of God that would move upon their hearts as they were willing to say, whatever you would have me to hear, Lord, I will hear. And whatever you would say, Lord, I want to know it. And whatever you want me to do, Lord, I'm going to do it. And here the people, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. When I read this, I thought to myself, when's the last time I was just reading my Bible and I wept? You know what they wept over? They've been in Babylon for a long time. They probably wept over their sin. They've been in the world. They forgot what it was to be a child of God, to live holy, separated unto the Lord, to not have the spotting of the flesh and the spotting of this world on the righteous garments provided by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, but we get really comfortable with our sin. But here, as the power of the Word of God gets into our life, as we give attention to the Word of God, it may bring us to weep. Oh, are we stirred as we read the Word of God in this way? We see something else. Their strength to serve comes out of this Word of God. It says, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You can imagine the peace when God begins to do a wonderful work in our hearts and lives, and where we want to say, you know what, I don't want any sin in my heart. I don't want anything between my soul and my Savior. I want to be right with God going into this new year. I want to put everything behind me, all bitterness, clamor, all malice, anything in my heart, any grudge that I have, I want to set it all aside that I might be ready and right with God, to have Him work and have the joy of the Lord filling my heart and giving me the strength to serve Him with gladness. I wonder, does the Word of God change our actions? I pray that it would. As I read this and I thought about the position that God's Word, the first thing I thought was, is I don't get this excited when the Word of God is opened, but I want to be. We need to give greater attention to the Word of God in this coming year. The answer to the help of our country, the United States, and our country, for myself, the United Kingdom, is not Donald J. Trump. It is not the next prime minister. It is the Word of God. Amen. People need Jesus. They need people who will show them the love of God and tell them that the greatest thing that will ever change our country is the simple message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And loving people with that wonderful message that we have. Let's give greater attention and fall in love with the Word of God this year. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank Thee for this time to open Thy precious Word. And Lord, I do pray, as the pastor comes at this time, that Lord, You would help us, Lord, to give a greater attention to the Word of God. Lord, I do pray that You would please help us, Lord, to see the things that are taking the place of the Word of God. Other things that have maybe been read distinctly, other things that we've put in a greater position in our life. But Lord, I pray that tonight, Lord, if there be ones here tonight that they know that the Word of God has not had its rightful place, I pray that tonight, Lord, they would either make this an altar or, Lord, an altar in their seat. And Lord, and they would commit unto Thee, as these did in the Old Testament, to come back to the Bible. In Jesus' precious name we pray as the pastor comes and he sees fit.
Well, as we continue and the ladies begin to play, here's my invitation that he's already mentioned. Either we need to come back to the book or just continue on. Maybe you're strong in it and you are finding yourself in it on a regular basis, then praise the Lord. But many times in our lives, we've let ourselves drift away from it. It's our power source, folks. It's the Word of God. It's the strength we have. It's the help in our time of trouble. It gives us peace. It gives us encouragement. It gives us conviction. How's your love for the Bible? We need to be, again, people of the book. Are you that? as they continue to play. As Brother Levi already mentioned, I challenge you to make an altar out of your seat or come down to the steps of this altar and pray and say, Lord, I want to put your word first. If you're able to, would you stand together with us to make it easier on folks to get out? And this is the last Sunday of this year. Maybe you want to fill this altar and say, Lord, I want to be a person of the book. I want to be a family of the book. I want to be a couple of the book. I want to stand firmly on the Word of God. As these are coming, would you join them? Does need to be some fathers that would say our family is going to stay rooted in the Word of God. Some couples, some husbands that need to say our marriage will be rooted in the Word of God. And then this church, I'm speaking to the leadership here, some of the deacons. We need to commit again as they have now for these couple of centuries. We keep this built upon the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Maybe you're here this evening as they continue to play, but you're not sure that heaven is your home, my friend. That's not what the message was, but that's always what we want to put forth. And you're here tonight with a heavy heart, not sure that heaven would be your home if you would leave this world. If that's you, my friend, I invite you to come. I'd like to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure that heaven is where you're headed. The Word of God tells you that very thing. We'll let these pray, and you continue to pray as they play. Jesus, I love thee. If you get the words to that up there, Brother Nathan, would you come and lead us in a verse of that? My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. You say, how do we know that? Because of the Word of God tells us. Let's sing it together. I love thee. Well, while we're standing just for a moment, I wanted to bring this good word to you that we've gotten the privilege to get to know over these months. Brother Nathan and Kaylee Richards, Ace and Ellie, their children back there in the back, and they love the Lord, serving the Lord, and they've given their lives to the Lord. And they feel it's God's will. They join with Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, and we're so excited about that. But we'd like to vote them into memberships. We need a motion to receive that. Preston Quillen makes a motion that we receive them into membership. We need a second. All right. Brother Stephen Gallion seconds that motion. They're sitting right in front of Stephen, so he's had a good chance to check them out tonight. And we thank God for them. And all in favor of receiving them, would you say aye?
Aye.
Opposed, same sign? Praise the Lord. Well, in just a moment, I'm going to slip out to the lobby and ask the Richards, if you don't mind, to come stand by Amy and I, and hopefully you'll get to meet them on your way out. But it's just a wonderful, wonderful time to be in church. And so, Nick and Elizabeth, thank you for blessing our hearts with your music tonight, and I hope you'll get by and see them before they head back as well. But it's just been a wonderful place. And Brother Levi, if you didn't care, you slip back there with me in the lobby. We'll have everybody out in the lobby, I guess, but they'll pass by you as well. And if you didn't care for you and your family to be out there, I want you to tell Levi that you'll be praying for him. He'll be heading back tomorrow. Brittany and the boys will be heading back later this week, but you be sure to get by and tell them how much you appreciate them coming our way, and they're always a blessing. Continue on, my brother. Thank God for you. We are praying that God would just continue to use you, as many of us have seen it with our own eyes, what he's doing through you, and I want you to know we're standing behind you praying for God's blessing. So, amen. Well, I think that is all we have tonight, and so we're going to dismiss in prayer, and then ask the Lord's blessings upon us, and then this Wednesday night, we'll have the Lord's Supper. We'll celebrate that, observe that, I should say, but then that'll be the last service of this year, and it's hard to believe, but we're thankful that God has brought us through. And so I'm going to ask Brother Steve Mullins, if you don't mind, to slip up the pulpit. Brother Steve, this is Levi's dad, of course, a deacon here, and we thank God for Steve and all that he's used him to do. But he's going to dismiss us in prayer, and I'll slip back to the lobby. And with the Richards family, hope you get by and meet them and get to greet Brother Levi as well. So Brother Steve, pray for us. It was a good message, wasn't it?
It was, amen.
Better than normal? Oh, don't answer. That's all right.
I'm blessed. Yeah. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you for your word that's been talked about and preached about tonight. Lord, help us all to be in your word this year, this coming year. Lord, it's so rich and real and has the answers for life. Lord, I thank you for my family, for Levi and all that he and Brittany that they're doing in England. Lord, there's lots of work there to do, and they are accomplishing great things. And I thank you so much for that. It's all about you, God. It's what you're doing, not what we do. God, we want to point everybody to Christ as we go about our way. Lord, just dismiss us this evening with your love. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen.